chapter 9. Couldn't help but think this week when, you know, we were on vacation and Heather got back up in contact with Juwan and told us what the doctors had found. And I was just thanking the Lord and thinking about it. You know, Heather was about that age when the Lord touched her when she had the cyst on her ovaries. And I thought, Abby knows now there's a God in heaven that answers prayers. Let me tell you something. It's one thing when you hear about him. It's another thing when he shows up for you. Amen. And I'm telling you right now, if he's ever showed up for you, Jenny and Tanner ought to still be up here singing. But it's amazing to me how God works things out. And I'm sitting there while the songs that Jenny picked out for the choir and then the songs that they sang, I'm sitting there thinking, she must have read my notes. My goodness. I want to read you something before we read the scripture. I got sent this morning from Romania by Preacher Pavel. And the title of it is His Name at the Top. Don't know who the author was. I had the nicest Christmas list, the longest one in town, till Daddy looked at it and said, you'll have to cut it down. I knew that what he said was true beyond the faintest doubt, but was amazed to hear him say, you've left your best friend out. And so I scanned my list again and said, oh no, that's not true. But Daddy said, his name's not there, the friend that died for you. And then I clearly understood 'twas Jesus whom he meant. For him who should be first of all, I hadn't planned a cent. I had made a Christmas birthday list and left my Savior out. But oh, it didn't take me long to change the list about. And though I've had to drop some names of folks I liked a lot, my Lord must have the most because his name is at the top. Amen. I hope his name's at the top for you this year. Amen. He is the main thing about Christmas. Isaiah chapter 9, let's look at verse 6. And 7, if you're there, say amen. Amen. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, God, for all you've done so far. Thank you, God, for what you're getting ready to do now through the preaching of your word, Lord. God, I pray right now, Lord, if you just move in this service, God. I pray, God, if there's one, Lord, it's not where they need to be, God, in any way backslid from you. Go, Lord, not living like they should, God. Lord, maybe not saved, God. Maybe they've been to an altar, God, and professed to be saved, but now they're not where they need to be, God. Help them, Lord, to get on this altar this morning, Lord, and help them to realize how much you love them. And whatever's done, we'll praise you, we'll honor you, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a little while on this thought. What child is this? What child is this? We're in the middle of Christmas season. Right now, Christmas season is full blown. Amen. You can look around this room today and see Christmas season is in full blown. I think, Brother Jerry, I love the way you dress. I don't care what nobody says. You look good. Amen. Adam, I love the way you're dressed. Amen. Some of y'all need to step up your game. Amen. I'm challenging all the men in this church right now that next Sunday, if you're not scared, if you're manly enough to dress like Christmas, let's come dress like Christmas. Hey, you ought to try to outdo Adam. Amen. Amen. We're in the middle of Christmas season. We ought to have smiles on our faces. We ought to be able to come to God's house, lift up our hands and worship and honor and glorify him. Amen. It's all about him anyhow. But we're right in. You know, some people are embracing it. I'll be honest with you. The last few weeks, I've heard more people say Merry Christmas than I have in the last few years. I've only heard just one or two say Happy Holidays. And when they say Happy Holidays, I say Merry Christmas. Some people embrace it. Some people, I'm going to be honest with you, some people sort of blaspheme the name of Jesus in the way they reject Christmas. And some people, I'll be honest with you, probably some in this church. We ought to be embracing Christmas. You know, we got our nativity scenes up. We've got our trees up. We've got the Christmas packages under it. And we're all, and thank God for everyone that's here this morning. Most of us that's here this morning, we know what the true meaning of Christmas is. It ain't about the trees, and it ain't about the gifts, and it ain't about all the frills, and even though I love every bit of it, it's about Him. It's about Him. What child is this? I want to just look at three quick things this morning about what child is this. This child is God's grace personified. The Bible says right there, I want you to notice that there's a couple of things. It said, unto us. That phrase is used in this passage of Scripture for unto us. That phrase is also used sort of in the New Testament when they're talking about Jesus. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says this, he shall bring forth a son, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. Amen. In Luke chapter 2, it says this, for unto you is born. That is God giving us his grace. Amen. That is God. Jesus is God's grace personified. We talk about grace. We talk about all that. And I'm just telling you right now, some people talk about the grace of God. Some people talk about all this. But we'll understand something. We don't deserve the grace of God. Amen. I want to notice something here. Ephesians chapter 2 says we don't deserve the grace of God. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That was us. That was us. Don't you sit here this morning and get all holy on me. Don't you sit here this morning and think you all that. I'm just telling you, every last one of us in here ain't nothing but dirty, rotten sinners. We're still dirty, rotten sinners that's saved by grace. You did not deserve the grace of God, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires and flesh of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. John chapter 3, verse 18 says this, and he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, though death hath passed upon all men, for we all have sinned. All of us were wicked. None of us deserved the grace of God. As they were singing that song, that first song, and you looked at that little video, and you thought about what Jesus did for you. You thought about what all the suffering that Jesus did for you. Think about the grace of God that's been poured out on you because of Jesus Christ, his Son. But still, God loved us enough. Romans chapter 5. Verse 8, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ, we talked about grace this morning in Sunday school. We talk about grace a lot. And understand something, grace is something that you and I cannot explain. I can get David up here, and I can get Tony up here, and I can get Robert up here, and I can get some of the best scholars in the world. They cannot explain God's grace. Because you think about it. What made you so special that Jesus died for you? Ryan, what made you so special that Jesus died for you? Brother Jerry, what made you so special that Jesus died for you? Greg? See, the thing about it is, I can sit here and point people out and call people out. And I, Preacher Trevor, what made you so special that Jesus died for you? See, he didn't die for the preacher. He died for that sinner. He didn't die for that one that's sitting in church this morning. He died for that one that didn't know where they were 20 years ago. on a Sunday morning. That's the one he went, bled, and died for. That's the one he gave his life for. God, Jesus is God's grace. This is, what child is this? It's God's grace personified, but he's also God's glory personified. Amen. He is called, now I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture, he is called a child and a son. The word child speaks of his humanity. The word son speaks of his deity. Amen. I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ is literally the God-man. There ain't never been another. I'm telling you, I don't care what tradition tells you. You can watch all the Marvel comics you want to. Hey, Loki ain't God. Thor ain't God. I'm telling you right now, there ain't been but one God, and his name is Jesus, and he walked among us. Amen. Understand something. Some people talk about what the greatest miracle is. Some people want to say the greatest miracle was when he died on that cross and resurrected. That was a good one. Amen. Some people want to talk about the greatest miracle being when he touched blinded eyes. That was a good one. Some people want to talk about when he raised Lazarus out of the grave. That was a good one. But I believe with all my heart, the greatest miracle that we could ever talk about is when God stepped out of glory, stepped over into humanity, put on a robe of flesh, and chose to walk among us. Hey, he was all flesh and all God. He was 100% man and 100% God. That has got to be the greatest miracle that you and I can ever talk about. My God, David, he stepped off the throne. I'm talking about the one that spoke everything into existence, the one that stood out on nothing, Greg, and said, let there be light, and there was light, the one that took some dust and mounded up some dust and blew into it the breath of life, and man got up and walked around. I'm talking about the one that parted the seas. I'm talking about the one that did all that, and he was 100% man and 100% God. Amen. Jesus Christ is God's glory personified. That's why he said, if I be lifted up. I got to thinking about it. Old Moses out there in the middle of the desert said, I just got to know God. I just got to know. He said, show me a sign. It was Jesus speaking. Jesus said, I'm going to put you in the cleft of this rock. He said, when I get you in this rock, I'm going to pass by you. The Bible says that he looked, preacher, and all he could see was the back part. I want you to understand something. I believe Moses realized he was in the presence of an almighty God. I believe Moses realized that this glory, I believe Moses could feel the glory as it came around him. I'm telling you right now, if you saved this morning, you know when the glory shows up. You know when Jesus shows up. You know when the Holy Ghost is in the room. You ain't got to have nobody punch you and tell you he's in the room. You know when he shows up. And he passed by, Greg, and finally, have you ever been in a service where it just got so real? Where it got so real that you could just about feel Jesus. I believe Moses was in that cleft of that rock. David, and I believe Moses finally got up the nerve as the glory had done passed by. Finally got up the nerve to open one eye maybe and just saw the backside of his glory. I'm telling you right now, folks, if you'll just worship him, he says, I'll come down. You ain't got to worry about, hey, quit worrying about what everybody else is doing in church, and you worship him, and you try to get into glory, and you try to see his glory. Jesus Christ, what child is this? It's not only God's grace, but it's God's glory. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He is God becoming man. I thought about it as I was studying. I'm gonna take a word from Brother Skip. Wow. Wow. He's the most unique man that ever lived. Amen. He was unique in his birth. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. He was unique in his life. John chapter 1, verse 1. He was sinless. 1 Peter. He was unique in his death. The Bible says he is the only man that died and rose again and still alive. Amen. Hey, he ain't been sick since he died. He ain't had a sniffle. Amen. He was unique in his death. He was unique in his resurrection. There were other people resurrected from the dead, but they died again. Not him. Amen. Jesus is God's grace. Jesus is God's glory. But Jesus is also God's greatness personified. Isaiah tells us he's going to have a name. Did y'all get that? It says he's going to have a name, and then he starts naming different names. I did some research, Greg. There's almost 200 names given to Jesus in the Bible. But I just want to concentrate on the ones that's given in this service right here, this passage of Scripture. Number one, his name is called Wonderful. That means supernatural or secret or extraordinary. The Bible says in Judges chapter 13, verse 18, and the angel of the Lord said to him, why askest thou thus after my name? See, it is a secret. That word secret right there means wonderful. He was wonderful in his works, glory to God. He was a miracle-working man. Amen. Ain't nobody else been able to do or duplicate what Jesus did. Amen. He raised the dead. He caused blinded eyes. He took old dirty, rotten sinners just like you and I and transformed us into what we are today. His word, he's wonderful in his works. He's wonderful in his words. He's wonderful in his ways. His love. I got to thinking about it. He's wonderful in his words. What did he tell the adulterous woman? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let me tell you something this morning. If you got things going on in your life that shouldn't be there, you ain't got to worry about somebody looking down their nose at you this morning. You ain't got to worry about somebody talking about you this morning. I'm telling you about a God. I'm telling you about the God man that loves you enough to say, neither do I condemn thee. Just come down and ask for forgiveness and go and sin no more. See, if you tell me all your problems, I'll probably talk about you. If you tell Brother Donald all your problems, Brother Donald will probably talk about you. You tell Skip all your problems, Brother Skip will probably talk about you. But you come tell Jesus, and he ain't going to say not one bad word. Neither do I condemn thee. He's wonderful in his works, in his ways, and in his words. He's wonderful. But then the Bible says he's a counselor. That word counselor there means to advise or to counsel or give purpose or a plan. It refers to a role of a leader as a guiding force in our life. That's what he is, amen. The Bible tells us in Psalms 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Hey, I'm following Jesus. He is my counselor. I don't have to worry about calling up somebody on the phone. I ain't got to worry about calling Washington. I ain't got to worry about calling Columbia, glory to God. I can get on my knees and get in touch with the one that created it all. He's my counselor. And he gave us his word to guide us. Wonderful counselor, mighty God. That word mighty God, if you study that out, that could be referencing a hero. Amen. It's talking about a warrior who is strong or invincible. Jesus Christ alone is worthy to be our hero. We can talk about Shaquille O'Neal. They can talk about LeBron James. They can talk about all they want to. I'm telling you right now, ain't nobody ever done me like Jesus done me. Amen. Ain't nobody ever treated me like Jesus treated me. Ain't nobody ever been as good to me as Jesus has been good. Hey, you can call out on LeBron all you want to. He can't answer your prayer. But how many of us has called out on Jesus in your time of your hardest need, and that hero showed up for you? My, my, my. Wonderful counselor, mighty God. Amen. Why could he be our hero? Because he defeated death. He defeated sin. He defeated the grave. He defeated hell. Amen. He's my hero. Everlasting Father. Jesus said, I am. Just like when that video, when they started playing that David, I thought, my Lord, I am. He's the same one that told Moses, I am that I am. So when he said it in the flesh, glory to God, he's still the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. One of these days, he's going to rule and reign his kingdom. Understand that. I'm telling you right now, one of these days, right now, he's your Savior. Right now, he wants to be your friend. We can call him by all the names we want to. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your helper. He wants to be your Savior. But one of these days, he's going to be our judge. He's God's greatness personified. And one day you and I will stand before him. Everybody in here, bar none, will stand before him one day. Some of us at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. If you're saved this morning, you can stand at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You'll be there. He'll judge you on being a Christian. Amen. You won't have to worry about hell. You won't have to worry about eternity. If you're saved, glory to God, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, we all get to go to heaven. Amen. But if you wait to that great right throne judgment, you're going to stand before God's greatness personified, and you're going to be judged and cast into a lake of fire. What child is this? He's our God. He's our God. Understand that. Our God. The one we worship, the one we adore, the one that's going to judge us. Jenny, can y'all come back and sing "What a Beautiful Name"? How many of us here today are ready to stand before him? I want you to bow your heads with me. Nobody looking around. I know we've had a great service. I know it's Christmas time, but I'm telling you right now, folks, you listen to me. Jesus loves you more than anything in this world. Jesus died for you. He gave his life for you so that you don't have to die and go to hell. Maybe you're here this morning and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. Would you please pray for me? I won't come to you. I promise I won't point you out." If you say, "Preacher, please pray for me. I'm not saved. Just lift your hand right now. I want to pray for you. You got to admit you're a sinner before you can ever get saved.